Are you aware of the halo effect? Perhaps you follow social media influencers, or you have an unhealthy obsession with a politician. Maybe it's the Queen's death. Maybe it's just a Hollywood actor that you can't get enough of, or actress. Well, that's a real problem here in the United States, as well as around the world, because we're putting blind trust in the people, whether that's Bill Gates, the president of the United States of America, or a Hollywood actor telling us what type of car we should drive. We are living in an upside-down world, and today we need to address it. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode. So glad that you're here. Today we're talking about the halo effect. Why does Hollywood and celebrities, social influencers, why do they have such a pull over our lives? Even politicians. We put them on this pedestal like they're something better than the rest of us, and trying to get to the bottom and the heart of why do humans do this? Well, we can go back centuries, right? We can go back many, many years and see even during the time of rule of kings and queens, people were willing to die for their king, to die for their queen. We look at wars, people willing to die for their leader of country. All the way back, we see in the Roman Empire, same idea, right? So I wanted to kind of figure out what leads somebody to want to die for their cause. Why do we admire? Why do we worship celebrities? Why do we make false idols out of politicians? Well, I'm going to try to expose that a little bit today, make us all think a little bit about it. I mean, we're all guilty of it in some way, shape, or form, including myself, right? We all have our unhealthy look into other people's lives. So the first thing I think we need to figure out is, why do we admire and worship people? Well, first, I think that sometimes we view people as being important because they've attained great wealth or they've attained fame. And secretly in each and every single one of us, you know, is that drive to want to be known forever, to want to live beyond this life that we have right now. In fact, some people may look at their politicians and say, hey, you know what? These people are changing the world forever. And that's pretty admirable that they will live on, right? We see the history books remember people. And who does not want to be remembered? Also, we see people that appear in the newspapers, appear in the magazines, the tabloids. And this allows us to see into their lives a little bit more. And if their life looks different than ours, that can be alluring, right? And the Bible talks of this, not to worship false idols, right? The golden calf. So when you see somebody that's living the luscious life, traveling the world, there could be a part of us that says, I want that too. I want to be able to travel the world. I want to be able to have that freedom, have the money to just do whatever I want. But we can find time and time again that money's not buying people happiness. A lot of these celebrities don't always have happiness in their lives, but yet we still in our subconscious mind want to idolize anything that seems to be better off than we are, whether that's a power thing, a richness thing, money, or just whatever it may be, glamour. We're just, power is something that we are attracted to, which is why I believe the kings and queens that ruled, when they had their power, people were attracted to that, and they wanted to serve the king or queen to get a little piece of extra power, to be not just part of the serfdom, but to maybe eventually be a knight or somebody that was managing some of the land. And so this is deeply ingrained into us, and we'll get into American culture of Hollywood a little bit later, but I want to start with that as the first premise. The second premise is that I think that almost everybody has this unconscious part of their mind that maybe not all of us admit it, but to be bigger than we are, to be more famous, to be more popular. I mean, think when you're a child and you have friends in the classroom, you can never have enough friends. And maybe you were the kid that didn't have too many friends, maybe one or two. And you looked around at the other kids and you were like, oh, well, they're more popular than me. For some reason, popularity associates with success in some of our lives. Now, many of us have become more comfortable where we're not chasing that type of experience. But I think deep down, it's a subconscious thing that we all do as children. And then the next part is, you know, everybody loves to have something to talk about. You know, when we go to work, we interact with a lot of different people, and sometimes we may not get along. And so sports are kind of the great equalizer. Everybody can say, hey, did you see the game this weekend? You know, Philadelphia Eagles look great to start the season, right? And we can all get behind that. We can all talk about it. And with celebrities, there's gossip. There's things we can talk about. Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, right? These crazy people. There's plenty for us to talk about. And it gives us the ability to have a shared experience, a shared conversation, because these are things that might be more universal in people's lives. It used to be, I think, the church was that universal thing, but now celebrities and influencers, they've gotten more universal. We also, I believe, all want a better life, right? And so when we see somebody living that better life, as I said at the very beginning here, we want to be able to do that. This is the reason why, like Air Jordans, right? Be like Mike. If I could be like Mike in the 1990s, that commercial, look, people wear Air Jordans, they overpay. It's a pair of shoes. People have died over getting these pairs of shoes, right? Why? Because people want to imitate their idols. They want to wear the same clothing. They want to smell like somebody else. They want to look like somebody else. So they go through the makeup tutorials. They're all going for the fame. Got to have the glory, right? Fame and glory. And also, you know, who doesn't love a pretty person? We love the appearance of people. And I mean, this is the reason why the magazines, sex sells on both sides, whether it's a magazine like Maxim magazine or a Cosmopolitan magazine, right? These magazines have sold sex for a long time. We can get more pornographic into Playboy or Penthouse. Their success was often because people like to see pretty people. It take their mind off their problems and gave people a taste of, oh, wow, what if that guy or that girl was around my shoulder, right? So women and men were attracted to this. And that's part of people's natural want to know what it's like on the other side, right? I mean, if you've never driven a Tesla before, I'm going to start here. You either will say, God, I hate Teslas, or you'll go out and drive one and go, wow, that was a really cool experience. But when we hate on something, a lot of times it's because we don't want to attach ourselves to that curiosity that we have about the other side of life. Now, maybe we can't afford a Tesla. And so we don't want to admit that, hey, this is actually a really cool experience. Because I got to be honest with you. I drove a Tesla. I went for the test drive. And it is a unique, cool experience. I didn't go out and buy one. That all stated, subconsciously, I think that in my mind, I'm like, hey, you know what? If I could afford a Tesla and had the extra income not to have the payment and stuff, I probably would buy one. It's a cool, regular experience. But in all of this, right? In all of this, we forget that all of these things that we are searching, idolizing, that all of these people are just that. They're regular people. But we give them power and we raise them up. And so I'm reminded of a show, Blossom, in the 1990s. There was a line, it was Joey and Blossom talking, and Blossom said to Joey, be careful how close you get to the front of the stage. It ruins the illusion. And that is what we see with celebrities, right? We see this illusion start to come down time and time and time again. Because celebrities have become these modern gods. They are the Zeus. They are the mythical figures that we make them out to be something larger than they actually are. But as my mother would be the first to point out, these people use the bathroom just like you and I. So if that's the case, why is it every single time there's a news story, we hear from Hollywood, Why is it every single time we're looking into science, we hear from Bill Gates, the software developer who's now a philanthropist that has put money into vaccines, and he's now the expert? That's right. He's the expert in all of this. Not the people that went to school, studied these things their entire life. Nope, it's Bill Gates. And somehow we just believe that because Bill Gates has billions of dollars, that those billions of dollars bought him the degree and medical license to be able to talk on what he speaks on. Just like Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump ran his business and was on The Celebrity Apprentice, right? He had a show. That show became absolutely gigantic. And he goes to run for president, and now we got the celebrity culture, right? It becomes a popular vote, right? We go to the popular vote of what's going on. Or Leonardo DiCaprio, right? When Leonardo DiCaprio starts talking about global warming, he's the first person. Him, we hear from Tom Hanks, we hear from all these celebrities that tell us how we're supposed to live. And for whatever reason, we all go, oh, thank you, Leo, so much. I'm so glad he's trying to save the world. Yes, yes, our celebrities are saving us. This is so great. I feel so good about them. Well, guess what? This is all part of something called the halo effect. Now, the halo effect is something that psychologists have figured out. And the Nielsen group that does the TV ratings and everything, they're part of the research into this as well. It can work in both a positive and a negative. We've known about the halo effect since about 1920, when it was called the halo error. This was a psychological study that was authored by Edward Thorndike called A Constant Error in Psychological Ratings. And so when they did their research, what they found was that we assess other people based on a series of traits, and we have a negative perception on any one trait would drag down all the other trait scores. So what this means is, if you did not find me attractive when you looked at me, then my intelligence immediately would start to be dragged down as well, that you would not believe me to be as intelligent as the person that looks more beautiful, because it works in a certain direction. This could also mean that if you did not like my personality, but yet I was a genius in what I was saying, you would simply look at my personality and you would discredit everything else. Maybe I was very handsome, but I didn't have any intelligence and I didn't have any emotional IQ. I was very just harsh on people. But maybe some of that brings you to go, hey, you know what? He's not that bad of a guy. Meanwhile, I'm the biggest jerk, but I look good. This is part of what's called the halo error, now known as the halo effect. And I believe that this is part of what's happening in our society and our culture. And I remember there was a basketball player many, many years ago that got in a ton of trouble for stating he did not want to be somebody's idol. Do you remember the basketball player Charles Barkley? Now, Charles Barkley was getting heckled at a game, and he ended up walking over to the person who was making some racist comments, and he tried to spit on the heckler, and it ended up hitting an 8-year-old girl. The NBA ends up suspending him for a game, fined him $10,000, and afterwards, people were saying to him, you know, you got to be somebody's role model. You got to be better than this. And he said, I don't want to be somebody's role model. You know, just because I'm playing basketball doesn't mean that I'm supposed to raise somebody's kids. And so that made huge headlines. People were talking about, should athletes be role models? Because we had, Michael Jordan at the time. And here is Barkley completely saying, no, I don't want in on any of this. I just want to play basketball. That's all I want to do. And so this made waves because there is this part that we look to as society where celebrities, sports, social influencers, that we hold up to this standard, this halo effect. And when all of a sudden it's shattered, we want them to all of a sudden conform back into it. It's almost like The Giver, the book The Giver, where before people know what type of reality they're actually in, they start numbing themselves. They start giving themselves shot to make sure that they can't see in color, to make sure that they live this life that's just copacetic and boring and clean. And this is part of that halo effect. And we're doing this. We're doing this every single day. In fact, because of the halo effect, we also are making snap judgments about others. And we're also using this on our websites. it's going to be bad because now it's going to influence people's minds. And we're not even at Hollywood yet. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
Now the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're talking about the halo effect, and I've been talking about why we should not prop people up as leaders that have our best interest at heart, whether that's Hollywood, social media influencers, politicians, the new King Charles III, bank leaders, whatever it may be. We're all being impacted by this halo effect. In fact, we're making judgments about people simply based off one aspect we know about their life. Giving an example of this, right? So we all know Tom Brady. Tom Brady is perhaps the greatest football player to ever play the game, certainly the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL. His name is known almost worldwide. You'd be hard-pressed to find many places that do not know who he is. You'd got to go to some more remote places without a television. But because we know this one aspect of Tom Brady's life, we think that we know so many other aspects about him. You know, just past weekend, he got out onto the field, kissed his kids, his wife was missing from the field, and everybody's going, oh, look what a great dad. Okay, Tom Brady's been in the NFL for over 20 plus years. His children have not been raised by a father for most of that time because he's been away with the NFL. From July until, because he was so successful, February, his children were without a father in the home on a regular basis. So, but we make a snap judgment that, well, he's a great football player. He must be a great human being too. Or Brett Favre. Brett Favre was the NFL's darling. Do you know what happened with Brett Favre recently? He took millions of dollars and frauded the people and he is now under criminal investigation with this whole PPE money, as well as, I believe, Tom Brady is as well. So these are parts of our halo effect, where we make a snap judgment based upon one other part, like Bill Gates. Bill Gates gave us Windows. Certainly, give him credit. Gave us one of the most innovative operating systems of its time, and still used by the majority of computers throughout the world today. But because of that, we immediately say, well, with all this money and look, this foundation that he has, he must be a really good guy. And we forget the fact that his wife divorced him shortly after the Epstein stuff came out, that he was in a relationship of some sorts of types of friendship with now known a sex trafficker, right? But that snap judgment we make, oh, Bill Gates must be this great guy. Look what he's doing. Look how he's trying to get vaccines in all these people's arms. Oh, look at these mosquitoes that he's just putting out there. What an awesome guy that he's trying to solve world problems. But this is the problem with the halo effect. We are destined to get blindsided by new information. Because we make overly fast judgments based upon such a small amount of data, right? This is why people sometimes rush into relationships and then have to break it off later, or rush into getting married. Maybe they have a child together real quick, they get married and they realize, oh my God, I didn't have enough data in order to understand what type of wedding this was going to be like. You know, I'm not happy now. You know, this is why people shouldn't rush in. This is why you should date for some years and be able to know this is the person. This is part of that halo effect. It's that snap judgments. A good looking person in life may get a little bit further. They might become role models because other people want to be good looking as well. And this is an unhealthy obsession. It's led to eating disorders. It's led to a lot of other major issues in life. Unwarranted beauty standards. Look at what we do with Photoshop now. People don't even look the way they actually look in real life. And Hollywood's been selling all of this the entire time. So before we get to the website part, let's talk about Hollywood for a quick moment. So Hollywood comes into play in the 1920s. Now, many of you may understand that I'm an audio, radio, video teacher, and I teach the history of broadcasting. That's actually what I'm in the current part of with my students. We could go into a lot of different avenues, but I want to keep it to the halo effect. Now, something that happens in the 1920s is we start getting stars. Stars like Buster Keaton, stars like Charlie Chaplin. And with these stars, people become like, oh, wow, that's another movie with that celebrity in it. This is so great. And it starts to bring in the golden age of cinema, the golden age of Hollywood. And at this point in time, in the late 1920s, Hollywood starts launching. They're doing about 800 movies per year. And people start seeing their favorite actors and going out and getting escapism. And Hollywood starts to die off after about two decades. And they need a resurgence, and that resurgence comes in the 1960s. 1960s with films like A Space Odyssey or The Graduate. It starts bringing people back in, and then by the 1970s, we start getting to Hollywood blockbusters like The Godfather, Star Wars, Jaws. And at that point, not only do the actors become celebrities, but then the directors become celebrities. So maybe at the beginning, we might have had some like Oscar Wilde or Orson Welles type people. I don't know why I said Oscar Wilde. But eventually we get the Steven Spielbergs, the Francis Ford Coppolas, the George Lucas. We start getting these other people that were like, oh, I can't wait for their next movie. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Well, guess what? There is a lot that went into propping this up in Hollywood to make sure that they were successful. Not just that. But if we start looking at world governments around the world, they were using film directors for propagandists the entire time. Did you know that Hitler had probably the greatest filmmaker ever in the history of all filmmaking? Literally, you could say that Leni Riefenstahl, right? Leni Riefenstahl was likely one of the greatest that you'd ever be able to see. Riefenstahl. I don't know why I said Riefenstahl. Getting my words confused today. Now, Leni Riefenstahl was a German film producer who gave us the airborne shots, right? She was the first major filmmaker, director, screenwriter, photographer that really became well known over in Europe for her work. And so she was active, this is the craziest part, for 101 years. A lot of people don't know that she was making the propaganda for Nazi Germany, made Triumph of the Will, made Olympia, all right, which gave her worldwide attention and acclaim. She helped make the Olympics what they are now with the broadcasting, showing all the different camera angles. She was an absolute visionary, but she also was part of the 1932 meeting of Adolf Hitler, who helped create the propaganda which would go on to kill millions. In fact, she later had a very close relationship with people around Hitler who asked her to film Triumph of the Will for the 1934 party rally in Nuremberg. They had more than a million people participate in this. And so Leni Riefenstahl eventually became elevated as this great filmmaker. Now, it wasn't until many years later, all right, so throughout like 45 to 48, she went to prison with the Allies. They caught her. She was under house arrest for some time. And later she says that the biggest regret in her life was meeting Hitler. She stated, "It was the biggest catastrophe of my life. And to the day I die, people will keep saying Leni is a Nazi. And I'll keep saying, but what did she do?" And even though she went on to win 50 libel cases, details about her relation to the Nazi Party still to this day remain generally unclear, whether she was just a work for hire or she was a sympathizer of what Hitler believed. Now, before she died, a couple of years before she died, and she died in, I believe, 2003, sometime around there, she said, "I was one of millions who thought Hitler had all the answers. We saw only the good things. We didn't know bad things were to come." And so while I'm talking about her, I'm stating that all these other directors, right? People put her up with Orson Welles, Alfred Hitchcock, Leni Riefenstahl, was the most technically talented filmmaker of her era, probably. And so this begins the halo effect, right? Because here we go. We have somebody who made the propaganda and yet lived to be 101, was living free, all right, was not in jail for her role because she was such a great filmmaker. Are you seeing the connection I'm trying to make there? So she created all this propaganda, but yet we elevate her because of the work that she did. So and her work continued all the way up until 1965, Alone Among the Nuba was eventually unreleased. But most of her work was 1925 until 1954. So if you want to learn more about Leni Riefenstahl, I highly recommend it if you've never learned about her. Now back to Hollywood here in the United States. We get George Lucas. We get Stanley Kubrick. Now Stanley Kubrick, he directs the 2001 A Space Odyssey. And this paves the way for movies like Star Wars because Kubrick is using these models and able to take people out into space to other locations, a space station that's spinning around in space. And it gave everybody this availability to go, wow, that's amazing. And so the halo effect there is this causes us to question whether or not Kubrick would have been involved with the government to land on the moon. Right? This causes the theories to come out to say, well, maybe Kubrick was the one that did this, not the innovations of science. And so out of Hollywood and the halo effect, we also bore the modern day Hollywood conspiracy theories, which do you know what the Hollywood stands for? Well, there's also more theories about this, but I'm going to probably crush this theory a little bit, much to some people's chagrin. So the Hollywood, if you look at it as a Hollywood wand, it was a magical wand because of what the Hollywood stood for. See, it was meant that these type of trees, holly trees, were considered protective. So therefore, people would make these into magic wands that were practicing some type of witchcraft or some type of spiritual quest in order to keep themselves safe. We see this folklore come into more notoriety in the Harry Potter books when they talk about how the different wands are made. And so, their author, J.K. Rowling, continues kind of that whole part. But how did Hollywood get its name? Is it really about magic? Is this really about some spell cast over the rest of the country? Nope. If you do some research into it, that doesn't seem to be the case. It actually goes back to a tree that was native for about 10,000 years in California. And to those people, the Toyon tree, otherwise known as the California holly, was very similar to the wintergreen evergreen, the European holly. And so they had these leathery leaves with spiky edges and bright red berries, and they were fruiting in the winter. And so people were coming to this area of California and seeing this. And so later they go, hey, this area will be known as Hollywood. And so, no, it's not some magical, mythical thing to cast a spell over everybody. We don't need that, because the Hollywood mythical casting of a spell is actually linked to the halo effect. Okay, so now we're back to Hollywood, maybe dispelling some myths, how we've propped up directors and actors. You know, the people that are constantly in the headlines are people like Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, Leonardo DiCaprio is an amazing actor. Not going to say he's not a good actor whatsoever. But why is it that Leonardo DiCaprio is our leading person on climate change? Where did that come from? Where did his climate activism begin? In fact, did you know he was designated back in 2014 at the UN as the United Nations Messenger of Peace for Climate Change? He also sits on the board of several environmental organizations, including the World Wildlife Foundation, the Natural Resource Defense Council, International Fund for Animal Welfare, Pristine Seas and Oceans 5. Now, that's not to say that Leonardo DiCaprio isn't fine, well, and good to go find his own platforms when he's not acting to be, passionate about. And that's not saying that he cannot be educated about it. What I want to ask is, how do the people in Hollywood continually get propped up to be the spokespeople for all of us? How is it they get into these positions? Why is it that places like the WEF has their young leaders and starts bringing our politicians in as these people, right? And I think that if we look at the halo effect, it's really simple to say, well, Leo, you know, he's just really concerned about the climate. And isn't it so great that he's doing this? But that's just looking at the one aspect. We need to look at a larger aspect of why he feels that he should be the one that's doing that implementation. So I think it's important for all of us to keep this halo mindset in mind, especially in a time where we're looking at websites. Wikipedia, right? Wikipedia is supposed to be the source for all this knowledge that's out there. We used to go to libraries, get encyclopedias. Now we just search in, find Wikipedia. But if you talk to any teacher, educator that's worth their weight in gold, they tell you Wikipedia is not a reliable source. In fact, Cheryl Atkinson just did a great piece on this the other day, where she kind of exposed that these companies have hijacked the ability of truth on Wikipedia. That these people have more clout, so to speak, because of the years and the volume, multiple people using the same login to be able to change the information. And so as a result, we also get a halo effect based upon the perspective of websites, right? Immediately, if I say Google or Bing, you're going to tell me that Google is better. And maybe that's the case, right? Maybe we say, well, you know, Bing, Microsoft, it was always really poorly done. And then if we say Google or DuckDuckGo, you might say, oh, well, Google's better too. It's just a bigger, well-known company. But not know that DuckDuckGo might give a better search results than Google here in 2022. Certainly was the case in 2020. They've gotten purchased now, so it may not still be the case. But this is all part of the halo effect. When we go to Wikipedia, getting our bias, that one aspect, and going, okay, well, I like this. But our overall judgment is still based upon the impression of one attribute, even when it's a website. This can go to our news, right? This is the reason why we can sit there and go, well, that news site, it was peer reviewed onto their site, but that's not one of the main news sites. That's not Reuters. That's not AP. That's not what we need there. Well, guess what? That's also part of the halo effect, that we're unwilling to look at actual journalism simply because it doesn't pass the first part of our judgment based upon one attribute. So this is a major issue we find ourselves in, idolizing, whether it's idolizing false news, whether it's idolizing media pundits, idolizing our favorite politician, King George III or Charles III. Why did I say George? See, that's the third time I've made a word mistake here today, but I'm leaving it in. So King Charles III or our favorite celebrities. We have an unhealthy obsession. But this halo effect is likely something that has existed since the dawn of time. There's likely no escaping it. Because if we go back to the time where we had kings and queens, as I said earlier, we were all too willing as humans to die for them. All too willing to simply go, all right, their life is worth more than mine. And that is the greatest lie that is continually perpetuated by Hollywood and so many other places, that your life is not as valuable as somebody else's. Don't allow anybody to take away the fact that you are boldly and fiercely made. And your halo effect means that you are so much more than what you will ever realize. It's been another episode of America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. I appreciate you being here. I know you had lots of other things to vie for your time, but you were here with me today. America Out Loud Network, thank you so much for hosting the show. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to all the other great content that's on this network, go to AmericaOutLoud.com. They're also on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Have a great rest of your day, everyone. Be bold, America.